Hello friends, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly. Beginning Sunday, January the 8th at 6 p.m., we'll begin holding evangelistic services at Old Paths Tabernacle. These services are an outreach of the Joey Kelly broadcast. If you like old-fashioned singing and preaching and a revival atmosphere, I'm sure you'll enjoy attending these services. To kick things off, I'll be doing an in-depth, verse-by-verse study of the book of Matthew. You know that I love teaching the types in the Old Testament, but I'm looking forward to studying the fulfillment of those types, which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Paths Tabernacle will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall of Old Metairie Protestant Church, 1301 Metairie Road, here in Metairie, at the corner of Metairie Road and Conifer Boulevard, which is right across from the Shell station. Services are at 6 p.m. Sunday evenings only. I hope to see you there. Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, whereas the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. It says, "And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." And it mentions that later on, that everyone was amazed and etc. by what he said. We should be amazed at what Jesus says. We should glorify him. And too often, the world looks on us and sees televangelists. They don't have a high opinion of them. They see denominations. I think one of the best witnesses to the world of Christianity, not of Christ, don't misunderstand, but of Christianity, of church groups, would be the Amish and that thing they suffered with that shooting or whatever a few years ago. They were, I couldn't do it. They forgave so quickly, publicly forgave that man, and ministered to his surviving family. They had no hatred. They had nothing in their heart that they held against this man. I was astonished. I'm sure everyone else that thinks about it was amazed at the way that they reacted. But it says that he came to Nazareth. And again, I'm not going to preach this entire passage. But Nazareth, it says, was where he had been brought up. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised, at least part of the time, in Nazareth. And again, I don't want to preach too much of it, but they were upset because a man of God, such a great man of God. Now, I know he's God come in the flesh, but hear what I'm saying. A man with a ministry so incredible. Well, he came from down the street. Well, who does he think he is? We knew his father and etc. and etc. But he came to Nazareth. But it says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. He was known in the synagogue. They expected him to be there. He was in church, let's say, every Sunday. If there was a prayer meeting, he was probably there. He stood up for to read. He said, "Hey, I want to speak. I want to say something." And it was not out of the ordinary. They let him come up and speak. It was a common thing. We should be used to being in church. When we come to church, it should be natural. They should expect, well, you know, Fred or Sam or whatever, or Susan, they're always in church. We expect that. But again, let me remind you that the point is Jesus. The point is not church attendance. Yes, you should be here. The point is not, while they mark me down as being in Sunday school again, I'm going to get a ribbon if I continue till the end of the year or whatever. It's none of that. It's that God, come in the flesh, is in our churches. Jesus is in our churches. The God that healeth thee is in our churches. It's not about the church, and it's not about the attendance, and it's about the Lord. And you should want to be in church. You should desire to be in church. Well, if it's not a very good one, maybe you could find a better one, but find a better one and attend church. Because the Lord's there, or He should be. But it says it was delivered to him the book from the prophet Isaiah. And in verse 18 it starts, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The poor need everything. The poor need food at times, clothes, help with their electric bill. They need help. They're poor. You go through the poor neighborhood, they have nothing. It's very, very apparent that they have nothing. But Jesus specifically said He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He did address the rich young ruler. Obviously, He preaches to the rich as well. But God loves the poor. God cares for the poor. And we should as well. At one point He said, "You have the poor with you always." My wife Cindy goes down every week or two or whatever. On a certain night at a certain place very near the French Quarter, and they give away food. They may give away clothes if they have them or something. And they try to preach to them a little bit, but they'll try to help the poor. We call them homeless now. They're bums. They're drunks. You know, I don't like political correctness. They're down and out, I guess, was the other term back in the 30s. I was involved in that when I was in Atlanta. We went every Friday night, if I remember. And this was for about a year and a half that I did it. We'd meet at a certain part of downtown Atlanta, corner of Spring and Lucky, actually, but that doesn't matter. Every Friday night at 8 o'clock, we'd have between 50 and 75 people that would go down to minister. And we'd hand out hot dogs and tennis shoes and whatever, and we'd witness in that parking lot a little bit to the people after we fed them. I was privileged a time or two to preach there. We had a megaphone and I hated it, and I didn't even use it. I just used my voice. I raised my voice. I didn't feel like that I wanted to be seen as preaching at them, so I didn't use the little megaphone. But we were able to minister to those people. We felt like we were pastors to some of them. Now some, or most, let's say, free meal, free tennis shoes. But there were some that genuinely wanted to get out of that situation. And we took our time trying to minister. We also, this was right near Techwood,
which was one of the projects. And we approached it and then got closer to it and got closer to it over the period of the year or so that I was there. We would go out, take half a dozen people, and we'd go down the road and witness to anybody that we could find. We'd pass maybe the liquor store or something and pass out tracts or something. And eventually after about a year, we got enough boldness, I suppose, and we went into the projects themselves. And this is a bad area. We shouldn't have been there. If we'd have asked anybody's advice, they'd have said, hey, don't go down there. But we worked up to it, and we got into the projects. And when we did, we realized that the Lord had prepared our way. And the people's hearts were so very open. And I don't know what we were scared about, because God was there. But we managed to get a number of people saved during the time that I was there. And again, I had a chance to pastor some of these people. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Last time, sorry you guys weren't here, we talked about Naaman the leper. But we didn't yet get to the part where he dipped 7 times. We talked about the little maid that was carried away captive by Naaman or by his soldiers that were under him or something. And as a prize of war, this little girl, unmarried teenager something, I don't know, Jewish girl, was stolen from her family and forced to work as a slave serving Naaman's wife. She had every right to hate Naaman's guts because Naaman had stolen her from her mom and dad. But we read in 2 Kings chapter 5, the first few verses, that out of the depths of her heart, when she found out that Naaman had leprosy, she couldn't help herself. She said that, I would to God that the master that stole me from my family could get to Israel and find the prophet, because the prophet could heal him of his leprosy. If you have a broken heart, heartache, disappointment, you wish things could have gone the other way, or you're sitting in a broken marriage, or whatever trouble you have, Jesus heals the broken heart. He heals the brokenhearted. Psychology, psychiatry, social work, doesn't matter. In my opinion, it's all useless. The answer, the true answer, the answer that works, is to come to Jesus. And to preach deliverance, it says, to the captives. We're still in verse 18 of Luke chapter 4. Deliverance. If you're bound by drugs, or you hate your brother, or whatever, you name your problem. If you are captive, Jesus has deliverance. Jesus has deliverance. We should look to Him and not the ways of the world. And recovering of sight to them that are blind. Jesus heals the sick. We find evidence of Him healing lepers, people that were lame, people that had some kind of ulcer that bled for years. We also find that He healed those that were blind. I believe that. Jesus heals those that are physically blind. But I suspect that He's talking about spiritual blindness. I suspect that that's the case. People do all sorts of stupid things in the name of the Lord. Churches, entire denominations are given over to things and ways and methods. They're not Christian. They're patently humanistic or reek of psychology, or they're taken from the New Age and psychic theology or whatever. They do all sorts of things that are just simply wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong to take Eastern mysticism and bring it into the church and then call it evangelism. It's wrong. He gives recovering of sight to the blind. If you stick your nose in this book, he'll show you the things that you've been doing that are not correct. I said that in a nice way. But the fact is, the New Testament from 1 Corinthians to the end is corrective in nature. The epistles were written because there were problems in the church. And because God loves the church, He chastens them. He sends a word of correction to them. I'm being nice, but some of the things that we have in some of our churches will not result in salvation. Maybe a false sense of salvation, but no true conversions. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. I guess this kind of goes with the brokenhearted. But that little maid, in her heart, she was bruised, stolen from her family. The woman at the well, she had issues apparently. But Jesus, I hate the word, but let's use it. Jesus is the great psychologist. Oh, he has nothing to do with psychology. Psychology is absolutely against the Bible. But psychology claims to speak of matters of the heart. And psychology and the psychologists, truly they have no idea what they're talking about. And you can tell them I said that, I suppose. But the problems in the heart, the problems of the heart, Jesus specializes in binding up their wounds. I guess I could mention if someone has been abused as a child or raped or verbally abused or mentally abused or something like that. The psychologist and the social worker and etc. and the lawyer would all say that there's a bruise in the heart. They're right. That's correct. But Jesus sets at liberty them that are bruised. The only answer for the problems of mankind, and especially the problems of the heart, is to let Jesus minister to that heart. Jesus is the answer. Then he closed the book, sat down, and everybody was looking at him, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the end. He's the culmination. If you're looking for it, go to Jesus, because there you'll find it. He is the answer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you very much for your word today. Please help us to trust in you and to bring all our needs to Jesus.
The crowd was just like sheep without a shepherd's care. He felt their infirmities so much that it made him weep. His heart was filled with pity and compassion for his sheep. Lord, please move me with compassion for the lost I pray. Let that love become a light that guides lost sheep into the fold before there comes a night. Lord, please move me with compassion.
Hello friends, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly. Beginning Sunday, January the 8th at 6 p.m., we'll begin holding evangelistic services at Old Paths Tabernacle. These services are an outreach of the Joey Kelly broadcast. If you like old-fashioned singing and preaching, and a revival atmosphere. I'm sure you'll enjoy attending these services. To kick things off, I'll be doing an in-depth, verse-by-verse study of the book of Matthew. You know that I love teaching the types in the Old Testament, but I'm looking forward to studying the fulfillment of those types, which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Pat's Tabernacle will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall of Old Metairie Protestant Church, 1301 Metairie Road, here in Metairie, at the corner of Metairie Road and Conifer Boulevard, which is right across from the Shell station. Services are at 6 p.m. Sunday evenings only. I hope to see you there. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.